Today's reading is from Ephesians 5:22 through 24. Please turn to Ephesians in your Bible or turn to the pages in the Bible provided to you on page 949. Thank you. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. You may be seated.
Amen. Sometimes it's hard to find the right man for the job. Today it wasn't. I told him it was a setup. As a child, I sang the song, and I told my wife, did we teach our kids this song? Because I didn't remember it, and she said we did. It's a song we all know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We are weak, and he is strong. I'm a fundamentalist. I believe the Bible. God said it. I believe it, and that's it. The question becomes, what does the Bible say? And I said last week, you can make the Bible say anything you want. Same with the Constitution, same with any writing, same with any law. And you have to be careful when you look at something, because there's a thing called confirmation bias, where you look at something and you think you already know what it is. For instance, this is an old colleague of mine, Brady. He looks like a Christian. He's smiling. He's happy. I mean, this is what a Christian should look like. Now, I haven't seen or met him in over 20 years. I don't know where he's at, but back then, he was a good, godly Christian man and a pastor. Then there's Vincent. No one ever accused Vincent of being a Christian. Some of you know who Vincent is because he changed his name to Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper was known for his raunchy shows, productions, the classic sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And he straightened his life out. I didn't know this, but once he got off drugs, other rock and roll bands went to him for counsel to get drug free. To this guy. And I didn't know either he'd become a believer. I watched the video. He hasn't changed his looks. You know, his spirit might have been transformed in Christ, but he could use a facelift. This is what a Christian looks like. This is not what you expect a Christian to look like. We have to be careful. Because when I saw his witness and heard what he said, I'm like, he believes. Or he's putting on a real good show. I'm going to go with the former. Alice Cooper, formerly known as Vincent, believes. Let's bow our head in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Lord, a difficult passage again, Father. Lord, we just pray that our hearts will be open to you, to your message, to what you have to say. And that we'd remain true to you and your word, Father. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Wives submitting is a huge issue. And there's a thing that I call confirmation bias. When you have a view, you tend to stick with it. I gave a sermon last Sunday on women teaching the Bible. In some churches, if I gave that sermon, not only would I never be asked back again, if I was the pastor, I might be fired. People have different views on this, sometimes very strong views. And I'm going to give you a classic example of looking at things wrong. And I did this for my whole life, probably for 35 years. And when somebody showed me my confirmation bias, I couldn't believe it. And then I did it to a friend, and I did to him what was done to me. And he reacted the same way. He's like, no, 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 no. I said, read it. There's a song when I grew up, if you're old enough and you still hear it today, said, I wish we'd all been ready. And it's a song about, you know, two men in a field and one's taken, you know, a woman and a man. I can't remember. I get the details. I should have looked this up. But they're grinding wheat and then one's taken. And that's a classic rapture view. Now, I'm not here to argue the rapture. Okay, that's not what I'm here. You know, if I bet people in the Middle East, people in China, people in North Korea are praying for the rapture. And if we get that bad here, I want to go in the rapture. But that's not my point today. My point is the scripture we use for the rapture. Because you're going to get taken away. I wish we'd all been ready. Two people are standing there and one is gone. They're with the Lord. They've been raptured away. Told that my whole life. Read it my whole life. Amen. God said it. I believe it. And then a friend said, Doug, you know you got it backwards. I go, no, I don't. Luke, I tell you on that night, two people will be in bed. This is Jesus speaking. These are words in red. Jesus will be in bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. And I'm thinking, my whole life as a kid, I'm told, that's the rapture. Where, Lord? The disciples asked. He replied, where there is a dead body, the vultures will gather. Where are they going to go? And the thing is, doesn't sound positive. You can say, well, he means the people who stayed. Well, Matthew, as it was in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man, when Jesus returns. For in that days, before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what happened until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The people who are taken away, it's not good. Now, not saying there's not a rapture. Not saying there is. I mean, I'm going to get in enough trouble for today's sermon. Why get into the rapture? I'm just saying, and my friend says, Doug, you understand that saying the people who get taken away, they're the ones in trouble. And I went home and I read it that night, and I'm like, yeah, he's right. I've gotten those verses backwards my whole life. And I did it to a friend. And he's like, no, Doug, no, Doug, no, Doug. I said, go home and read all those. He calls me the next morning. Yeah. And I go, same thing happened to me. See, I read this with a certain mind picture, and I couldn't see beyond it. And I was reading it backwards, because I already had made up my mind what it said. You know, we can all disagree. Some people will still disagree with what I said here. You know, last week, in some ways, I got a little snarky, a little defensive, because it's a hot topic, and I get a little mad when people say, Doug, you don't believe the Bible, or you're wrong, and it hurts my feelings. You know, I'm a sensitive guy. And so, yeah, I did kind of get a little snarky, and, you know, and I don't want to do that today. I don't want to. And, for instance, I was listening to two scholars, Denny Burke and I think Pierce, and they were discussing these issues, and it was really nice. They really drastically disagree. And they had a nice conversation. I mean, maybe afterwards they beat each other up. I don't know. But on that audio that I listened to, they humbly and respectfully disagreed. They didn't call each other heretics, didn't say you don't believe the Bible. And we need more of that. Because like I said last week, we tend to focus on the 5% we disagree on. And, you know, at times that's important. Just not all the time. And last week when I taught about women teaching, I had some people that said to me, you know, Doug, I've never heard that before. I never heard what you said before. And I said, it's challenging. It's challenging when you look at something and hear a completely different view than you've never heard before. You know the joke. When someone asks you if you say you're open-minded and you say yes, you've proved the opposite. Because you should say, I'm open-minded to the fact I might not be open-minded. That's the truth. And that's a hard truth. Now, I believe my views are biblically based. Some people believe their views are biblically based. I can trust them. But if we disagree, that doesn't mean their views are not biblically based. It can be difficult sometimes to understand Scripture. When you read in Peter, he talks about how sometimes the things Paul, the Apostle Paul, wrote a lot of the New Testament, says very difficult and hard things. Now, some people, it's just easier, especially on women's issues, just to ignore the Bible and say that was for then, this is today, that was just cultural. They just ignore the Bible. That's not what I'm doing. I admit some do that. I think that's wrong. And so now we're going to get into even a more controversial topic. Submission from Ephesians 5. If you want to start a fight in the church or between churches, this is a good place to start. This is probably better in the rapture or women teaching. Okay, so it talks about the church, it talks about the home, all in Ephesians 5. And I think I might have shared last week, in Greek, where the New Testament is written in Greek, the word for husband and man and wife or woman are the same. They don't have a separate word, just a different culture. So if I said, there's my woman, and Christy walked through the door, you would assume it was my wife, and vice versa, just the way they talk. I mean, in that culture, everyone got married or you were widowed, but, you know, marriage wasn't something you wanted, also is much more of an obligation. So that's the way. So sometimes people argue, well, this isn't husband and wives, this is men or women. But then are all women supposed to submit to all men? And if you read the scriptures, a lot of times you can kind of tell, and the parts we're going to read today, I think it makes much more sense if it's really just husbands and wives, not men and women. But to a certain point, that really doesn't matter because it's still difficult. And then the question becomes, how does this relate to the church or the home? What you're going to see in your Bible, and I trust the scripture, I think sometimes, you know, there's issues that there's words that are difficult to translate. You know, people say, oh, you just can't trust the Bible anymore. It's a copy of a copy of a copy. No, it's not. We got the original text. And a lot of good men and women do scholarly work. And we have a pretty good idea of what the scripture says. We don't live in a perfect world, but it's God-breathed, and I trust it. And one of the things you'll see in your Bible is a paragraph break. And so, because the first part of Ephesians 5 is talking about the church, and the second part is talking about the home. And I would say that's probably true. And then the question becomes verse 21. Is that the paragraph break? Or is verse 22 the paragraph break? Let me tell you something before we read those verses. Those paragraph breaks are not God-breathed. They're done by scholars. That's not the original text. Greek didn't have, when you read your Greek testaments, when Paul wrote, when Phoebe delivered a letter, there were no paragraph breaks. So those are decisions we're making. We're making decisions. And that's okay. And I'm going to argue that verse 21, which Randy forgot to read, I really set him up. I didn't have it there for him to read. Poor guy. That is not just either goes to the church or to the house. It's the linchpin for both. It's not a break. It looks back and it looks forward. So how does that work? So we're going to look at the text and see. Going to Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. We know what wives mean, we know what submit means, and we know what head means. And I would say to you, maybe we don't, because we have confirmation bias. Here's what Randy should have read, if he was really spiritual and had his own Bible. I'm really throwing Randy under the bus. I didn't set Randy up to read, Jackie did, and I just thought it was so ironic. So Randy, yeah, Randy's looking at Jackie right now. Here's verse 21 that I say is the linchpin. It doesn't just go back to the church and then you forget about it for the household. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, which he is the Savior. And that changes things drastically, because now you have a conflict. You really do. The Bible contradicts. If you're going to be really dogmatic and technical, the Bible contradicts. Submit to one another. Oh, forget that. Wives, submit to your husbands. I'm just telling you what it says. Amen. Let's close and go home. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. So what does head mean? We think hierarchy. Hierarchy means who's in charge. You've seen the flow charts. The boss. The assistant boss and the other assistant boss. You know, the principal, the assistant principal, the lead teacher and the teachers. We think hierarchy. What if it's not? Oh, and has the red ink been spilled on that issue? You know, and scholars and pastors and people who study the Bible, they write all kinds of things because what does it mean? I think it means source. I think that's one of the best ways of understanding it. The head of a river is the source of the river. The source. I think it makes more sense in Scripture overall. I'm not saying the Bible's not hierarchical because Jesus Christ is the head. He is in charge. But he's also the source of his church. He's the body of Christ. You know, we tend to think authority, who's in charge. And when you read this, if that's your mindset, it just all makes sense. And you ignore the parts where it doesn't make sense. Because the Bible is more about unity, about being a body. And what does Paul say about the body? Oh, the glorious parts and then those unglorious parts, and they're all together. And who gets more glory? Sometimes the unmentionable parts. Not about who's in charge, but, you know, can the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? And Jesus Christ says, the Gentiles lord it over you, but I've come to serve. That's a different kind of headship. That's a different kind of authority. I can tell you right now, most CEOs don't serve their companies. They're in charge. They're a benevolent dictator at best. I'm not against that. You need organization, you need authority. But in the church and the household, it has to be run like a business at times, but it's also a family and it's different. It's not either or, it's kind of both and. And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. Christ is in charge of the authority. And the head of every woman is the man. The man's the head of the authority. And the head of Christ is God. God's over Christ. And there's this term called the eternal subordination of the Son, that the Son subordinates himself to God. I don't think so. He is God. That doesn't make sense. But I want you to realize that the source of every man is Christ, and the source of the woman is man, and the source of Christ is God. Makes a lot more sense. Woman came from the side of man. It's kind of like he's your source. Christ is the missio Dei, the sentness of God. Who's Christ's source? He is the Son, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Holy Spirit. But the Son is God. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is not the Son, but the Holy Spirit is God. They are one. And Christ, his source, is the Godhead. I don't think they're the authority over it. That's the way I see it. I could be wrong. But to me, this makes a lot of sense. It makes more sense than this authority structure. And yes, Christ is over the church. He is the authority, and he's also the source. It's his body. What's Christ say? What's the Bible say? The church is the body of Christ. It's his body, not just his servants. Yes, it says, you're my servants, but I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So it doesn't tell men to submit here. Correct. But it already did. This doesn't nullify verse 21. Oh, verse 21 where it says mutually submit to one another. That goes back to the church. We're in the household now. I don't think so. I have real problems with that. I don't think it makes sense. And let's say verse 21 is just for the church. So how does that work? Husband and wife go to church. They mutually submit to one another. But she knows when she goes home, she's got to submit to him. She's going to let him have it at church. I got an hour here, buddy. You might have me for the other, you know, other 7 days, or she's like, honey, I want to go to church every day this week. Okay, I'm having fun here, but it just doesn't, it's a more convoluted view. People will disagree with me, but I'm like, wait, whose view is more convoluted? So here's the flow of the argument. Now, this didn't show up as good because I was in a rush and it didn't sink at home, so, but it's purple for both, pink and blue for men. Submit to one another. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. But doesn't say submit. Does that, because there's parallel to each other, synonymous to each other, does that negate what's up here? Even if it's in the church, which I don't think it is. I think it's the linchpin. It goes back and forth. And besides, tell me, where does the Bible say, oh, do this in church, but don't do this at home? Or you got to do this at home, but you don't do this in church. It pretty much flows everywhere. So you got this head verse that is the source of the next two verses. And it's over the next two verses. Submit to one another, wives submit, husband loves. Now, men, we should be kind of offended. I would kind of like my wife to love me. Well, honey, you know, I've married you and I'm submitting to you. It's just an obligation. I got 30 more years of this obligation left. Ooh, baby. Glad we're going to go on a honeymoon tomorrow. Well, part of the reason is we're thinking like an eros love, a marriage love, a romantic love, and that is not what it is talking about. This is the Greek word for agapago, the verb agape, love, noun. And it is an unconditional love. My opinion, if you were to ask a Greek man, do you want to love your wife or do you want to submit to her? He would say, I'd rather submit. Because love includes all these things we're going to read, and basically it's synonymous with submit, if not worse. So it says, submit to one another, reiterates for the wife to submit, and it tells the husband, oh, and let me just tell you, baby, you're going to have to love her too. Today, women are offended when they read this verse. I mean, just having Randy up here reading this verse is offensive to some. I warned his wife that, you know, you're going to have to get the big stick. Then the man was offended. They're like, what? Because Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus, and they're like, Paul, you're crazy. I don't want to submit to her, and I don't want to love her.
on the man, and in the Greek culture, the man was the end-all to be-all. You realize the man could fool around sexually, and she was supposed to put up with it. He didn't have to. He could do whatever he wanted to, and that was just the way things are done. So when Paul says, you know, you got to be a one-woman man, they're like, what? I can't fool around anymore? I don't know, this Christianity stuff, man, it's out there. And now I got to love her? And it says submit to her? I mean, the Greek man was, if he became a Christian, he was buying all in. That was a radical change. And the woman's like, and everybody said amen. And today it's kind of reversed. So, submit to one another. Wives submit, husband love. And wives aren't told to love here. I tell you, later on in another scripture, it tells wives to love their husband. And it's not agapago or agape. It's the word phileo, which comes from brotherly and sisterly love. And you could say it's a word thing, you know, I'm making more out of it than it sounds, but I don't want my wife to have a brotherly and sisterly love for me. That's just not going to cut it. That's what it says. It's not told to love her. She is not told to love him. That doesn't mean she can't. And you know, in that Greek world where a 15, 16-year-old girl was marrying a 30-year-old man and there were arranged marriages, you can see why some of these things were said. That doesn't mean there weren't lovely marriages. You can find tombstones that have engravings of how much the husband or wife misses their spouse after they die because they were deeply in love. But unlike today, love wasn't the driving force. And if you had a loving marriage, you were truly blessed versus just an arrangement, which would explain why men felt they had every right to sleep around. Because women were for legitimate children. You see, she couldn't fool around, well, for one, he's jealous, because then if she gets pregnant, whose child is it? But if he goes out and sows his wild oats, who cares? His household has legitimate children for his name's sake. One of the reasons why the Greco-Romans had their views of women the way they did. Very derogatory. And then Paul comes along and lifts women up. And they're like, amen. Preach it, brother. And then after that, there's even more duties for the man. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for it. So today, women are offended, then men were offended. And they're told to submit, love, and then do all this. Verse 34, we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. One flesh is not authority driven. It's not who's in charge. One flesh is we are all in this together. Mutual submission. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. It's even beyond marriage. It's more than you understand. It's merely a shadow of Christ and his body. Christ is over the church, he's the source of the church, and he serves the church. So two issues that come up. Someone has to be in charge. And so what I heard, when I was dating a girl a long time ago, and we came across this issue, and some family members told me, well, what it means submission is, if a husband and wife can't agree, then the husband has the final word. Kind of made sense at the time, but I even still brought up that view. But, well, it says submit here. Well, that's a paragraph break. I'm like, so let's say that the husband makes the final decision. That is foreign to the biblical world Paul is talking about. Nobody would think that way because the husband never listened to the wife. He could be in complete control. So it wasn't like the final decision. It was all decisions. And if you would have told him that, he said, you're crazy. It's just foreign. So I can tell you how Chrissy and I do things. When we moved to Dallas, when we moved to Coffville, I didn't say, woman, this is where God's calling us. submit. I did not do that. And I tell you, either one of us, if one of us would want to go to Dallas and the other wouldn't, we would not have gone. We really don't do things when we don't agree. That pretty much stops. And sometimes it's like, well, my wife's a certified financial planner. She was in finances. So when there's certain decisions to make, like on money and stuff, she'll tell, like, this is the best way. I go, well, you know this. We'll do it your way. Because you know more than I do. But we don't do something like, well, this is what we should do. And, you know, we're going to seminary, woman, and you're coming with. I heard anecdotally there's been men who have done that. And my guess is it probably didn't go well. The other thing you might hear, well, if a husband is serving a wife, then submitting works. But what if the husband isn't serving and Christ-like? What if the husband isn't loving? What if the husband isn't into mutual submission? Because then submit's still in the Bible. What does that mean for the other spouse? To be a doormat? And it's not always women. I've seen some men who are doormats. Maybe it's more women, I don't know. I've seen some women who are doormats. Where one spouse just rolls all over them. I think maybe we need to look at some definitions of submit. You know, last week we talked about teaching and the word authority, authenteo versus exousia. You think I'm speaking in tongues now. Those are Greek words, but they have certain meanings. All words have certain nuance to them. I mean, all words have a certain nuance. Like, submit. I mean, we think obey means obey, and authority means authority. You know, at the end of this, it says, however, each of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Should she respect him? Well, and actually, it's the word for fear. Now, fear has kind of multiple meanings. A fear of God is a holy and healthy fear. If you're on the hood of a car driving 100 miles an hour, you should have a healthy, holy fear of what could happen to you. And you'd be smart to do so. And we should have a fear of God like that. But also fear means reverence and respect. And I think that's the connotations here for the woman. What about submit? Does it mean obey? Because, you know, Paul tells children to obey. He doesn't tell wives, but we always think it means obey. Let's look at this from Philippians. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Think more highly of one another, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That'd be like mutual submission. Romans 12:10, honor one another above yourselves. Well, that's just for the church, because this is talking about the church. You don't have to do that in your marriage. I was being facetious, in case you were wondering. That's for the church and the husband and wife. And marriage. That's probably a better understanding of submission and being in a holy marriage together. Here's what a marriage looks like. Submit to one another. Wives, submit to your husband. Husband, love your wife. What do you want, honey? I'll do what you want. No, honey. Let me do this for you. Because you said you wanted that. I'll do this for you. No, honey. Let me do it for you. It should be that pathetically sappy. It should be. I want to serve you. I want what's best for you. No, I want what's best for you. Because you've always wanted that. You know I want the boat. And the AR-15. But we'll get you the washer and dryer. So you can submit and wash my clothes. No. Yes, and I'll get the washer and dryer. And then we can all wash our own clothes. And you can't go hunting, so you'll have time to wash my clothes. So you've probably been challenged today to think about some of this a little differently. And I've looked at Scripture. Yes, my definition of head is different than hierarchy and who is in authority. When I read other scripture, when I read Christ, it makes more sense as being a source. You could disagree with me. I don't think you can just pop 21 out, mutually submit to one another, and say that's for the church and it has nothing to do with the home. I don't think that's good theology. I don't think that's good Bible reading. Again, many might disagree. I'm not just trying to placate the world. Oh, we're not against women. Believe me, when it comes to sexual morals, everything I teach as a pastor, the world disagrees with. I mean, you have to understand, we live in a world where people think adultery is okay. No fault divorce. You know? Irreconcilable differences. So don't tell me I'm trying to placate to the world. And you know, then I believe there's two genders. I mean, that's pretty much everything the world disagrees with. Our society totally disagrees with me. So don't tell me I'm placating to the world. I believe this is scripture. I believe it makes sense. Yes, this is a difficult issue. And I need to approach it without being snarky, a little upset sometimes, and I get that way. I get a little worked up. You know, I have friends who disagree with me, and we're still friends. We can, in love and grace, love each other, disagree with each other. And I hope I challenge you today. I hope I challenge you to read scripture afresh with open eyes and see things you've never seen before. And then don't just take my word for it. Go to the text and read it. You know, one of the things I learned about preaching was my authority doesn't come because I have years of experience in marriage. I have years of experience dealing with people. That I was a frontline supervisor. That I was a director of food service. That I was a bivocational pastor. I was a pastor of singles, and I've been a pastor for many years. That is not my authority. Those are all good things. All scripture is God-breathed. And if I preach other than this, I might not always understand it. I might understand it different than you, but this is our authority, all scripture. So I challenge us in grace, in truth, and love to read scripture anew. Lord, refreshing our hearts and minds for you. And take these words to heart. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, let these words challenge us. Let scripture challenge us. And Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would just work in all of our hearts, those listening, those here. Lord, to study your word, let your Holy Spirit illuminate our hearts and minds to you. And Lord, where we agree, Lord, even where we disagree. Sometimes it can be contentious issues, but Lord, you are our God Almighty. We are all part of the body of Christ. And Lord, let us in love serve one another, thinking more highly of each other than ourselves. We pray this in your holy name. Amen and amen.